on this 21st Sunday of Pentecost. Warm weather was still upon us this week. It felt more like May than October, but we are reminded that fall is on the way. The fall is here because of the rain and cool weather that we had as of late. I have a number of announcements this morning. Please continue to keep Norma in your prayers. I did go to see her on Friday. She's struggling with some extra health issues besides her stroke. So I asked her, we had mentioned the care committee had talked about maybe sending her a card from church members. And I asked her if she would like that, and she thought that she would. So at the back of the church are her address, is her address for Stratford General Hospital. She's changed. She was in the stroke ward. Now she is in the medicine ward on the first floor, room 539. So I do ask that you keep her in your prayers. You may also have heard through social media and on the news that 11-year-old Lily Krantz from line 33, just outside of Tavistock, has been missing since Friday. There have been a few sightings of her, but as of 10 o'clock this morning, she had not yet been found. So this morning, we will keep Lily, her family, and all that are looking for her in our prayers. You have read in your bulletin that Zion requires 4 council members due to not having an annual meeting in February of 2021. Please carefully reflect on this need and how your skills and talent and creativity could make a difference in our community. The time commitment is not large. We meet every 6 weeks for about 2 hours. And we are also looking for lectures. Again, it's not a large time commitment. The more folks we have, the less times that we have to do it. It's good to hear a variety of voices. I'm sure you get sick of listening to my voice all the time. And it would be great to have some male and female voices. I know Mark is our lone male voice. So anybody, and you don't have to be perfect. Remember, we're all just doing our thing to serve our faith. Is there any other announcements this morning? Seeing none, let us continue with our gathering song. Oh, I do need to mention, we do have some special folks in the audience today. I'm going to sort of embarrass them and call them out. Greg's sister, Kristen, is visiting from Yellowknife. It's the first time we have seen her in a couple of years, of course, since the pandemic. And my mother-in-law and her husband, Nora and Ted, have also joined us this morning. So please show them how welcoming Zion is, and give them a wave during our peace this morning. So we will now continue with our opening hymn, Lord, Whose Love and Humble Service. And again, no singing, but we can hum.
Thank you.
You turn your greatness into goodness for all the peoples on earth. Shape us into willing servants of your kingdom, and make us desire always and only your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We will now hear words of Scripture.
Our first reading this morning comes to us from Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 12. A reading from Isaiah. Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we accounted him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded by our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By a perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him with pain. When you make his life an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring and shall prolong his days. Through him the will of the Lord shall prosper. Out of his anguish he shall see light. He shall find salvation through his knowledge. The righteous one, my servant, shall make many righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured himself out to death and was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm this morning comes from Psalm 91, verses 9 to 16. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your habitation, no evil will befall you, nor shall affliction come near your dwelling. For God will give the angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion, cub, and viper. You will trample down the lion and the serpent. I will deliver those who cling to me. I will uphold them because they know my name. They will call me and I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. With long life will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. Our second reading comes from Hebrews 5, verses 1 to 10, a reading from Hebrews. Every high priest chosen from among mortals is put in charge of things pertaining to God on their behalf, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is subject to weakness. And because of this, he must offer sacrifice for his own sins, as well as for all those of the people. And one does not presume to take this honor, but takes it only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was anointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Is that the word of the Lord? Thanks be to God.
Please rise if you are able for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and they said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What is it you want me to do for you?" And so they said to him, "Grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized to the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them. And their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Upon first reading of our gospel today from the book of Mark, one might think that this is just another passage about the disciples' continued confusion in understanding just who Jesus was and what was going to happen to him. The disciples claimed to understand that Jesus was the Messiah. When Jesus asked Peter in Mark chapter 8, verse 29, who he was, Peter answered him precisely, saying that it was Jesus. James and John knew of the glory that Jesus would bring. But again, their understanding of glory and Jesus' understanding of glory were on two totally different realms. At least that is how we have understood this passage throughout the years. But I wonder if the disciples were really that confused, or if there might have been another emotion at play here. We learn more about this emotion in the beginning of this passage, which is not included in the lectionary for this 21st Sunday of Pentecost. The reading states, "They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid." The passage goes on to state that then Jesus told the disciples for the third time of his impending death and resurrection in vivid and gory detail. The author of Mark states that those who traveled with him were afraid. Does not say that they were confused. So what fear would have been most prevalent? Maybe the disciples were finally beginning to comprehend the brevity of what the journey to Jerusalem not only meant for Jesus, but for them as well. Maybe asking Jesus the outlandish question of wanting to be at his left and right hand side was not about power and glory, in the sense of earthly kingly power, But in a sense, I'm wanting to stay by his side because of their love for and trust in him. Maybe they were looking for some sort of security blanket, some sort of control in a time that seemed completely out of control for them. Let's put ourselves in the sandals of the disciples for a moment. They have been living under oppressive Roman rule, surrounded by poverty for probably all of their lives. They left the security of their jobs to follow this man who claimed to be the Messiah. They have seen Jesus' miracles. They've listened to his teachings. They have seen him challenge the Pharisees' orthodoxy. And we have the advantage to read about it for thousands of years, and we can discern about it and reflect about it, and I can even preach on it. But the disciples were figuring all of this out in real time. The change and the transformation was happening in front of their eyes. And Jesus continually asks if the disciples have any faith when they question and seem confused. What we all seem to forget is that the disciples were human. They were perfectly imperfect folks trying to do the right thing. They were trying to live out faithful lives to the best of their ability. Just as all of us do throughout our lives, they were growing in faith, which is sometimes uncomfortable. And let's face it, even at times really hard. Most all of you here today probably remember the glory days of the church, back when the pews were more full, and everyone came to church because it was the outing for the week. It was the center of the social circle. And the church had its place in the community. There was a sense of power and hierarchy. And while there was a deep sense of security in the church, let's be honest, it could also be pretty self-serving. We are all aware of the roles that power and corruption have played within the denominations of our Christian faith. For far too long, some who held positions of power within the church used scripture to traumatize and condemn their members for their own gain, instead of healing and transforming them as beloved children of God. And this is part what has led to the downfall of our church. There is mistrust, there is doubt, there is frustration, and yes, there is fear. Perhaps we are not so different from James and John as we would be led to believe. Jesus asked James and John if they would drink from the cup that Jesus drinks. They respond that, yes, we are able. In Scripture, the cup is an image that portrays both joy and salvation and suffering and wrath. The joy of the cup is found in our beloved Psalm 23, verse 5, where it states, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup, it overflows. An image of suffering is found in Psalm 11, verse 6, where it states, on the wicked he will rain coals of fire and sulfur. A scorching wind will be the portion of their cup. We also hear a reference to the cup in Mark 14, chapter 36, where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is praying and lamenting to God, saying, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want. So, did the disciples truly understand what Jesus was asking of them that day? Do we? Throughout the Gospel of Mark, the disciples were called to understand who Jesus was as the Messiah. Jesus also impressed upon them the call to a life of servanthood. We read, Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom to many. This is what we are called to do. This is who we are called to be, and this is who the church is called to be. The church cannot fulfill its role in the kingdom of God through power, privilege, and prestige. The hierarchical rules that we have used in the past do not help proclaim the kingdom of God among us. I think that the last 18 months has given us a clearer understanding of that call. We have had to live with uncertainty and a loss of control, just as James and John did. When the doors of our building were locked, there was a need for us to reach out in different ways. We had to think outside the box and how one continued to do the work of the church. How do we reach and engage our members? How do we minister to the greater community? And as a whole, I think many churches found the answers to some of those questions. But now that we are back to in-person worship, how do we continue that? Or do we go back to the old ways of being church because it's easier, it's comfortable, and it's safe? Because it is what we know. Or do we gladly take the cup that Jesus drank? Do we jump into the waters of our baptism? Do we let go of the fear and truly live into the kingdom of God, the servants of Jesus Christ? In being called as servants, in being called to share the cup that Jesus drank, we are reminded of the love that God has through us, has for us, through the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. With that love surrounding and sustaining us, we can trust in the promise of hope for the future. Because the fear and need for security that is carried in our hearts and minds are replaced. It is replaced with unconditional love for one another, regardless of race or skin color or gender or sexuality or even vaccination status. We can take up our crosses and we can live as faithful disciples of God, trusting that the presence of God is with us and that the love of God will indeed sustain us. The future of the church is up to us. Can we live into the faith and mission that God has given us through the power of the Holy Spirit? Can we let go of the church of the past and live into a new reality of serving and loving one another beyond the walls of our beloved building? Can we forgo the fear and truly drink the cup that Jesus drinks, knowing that life does indeed bring us both joy and suffering, both salvation and wrath? Let it be so. Amen. We will now listen to hymn number 729, The Church of Christ in Every Age.
Thank you.
rise for our prayers of intercession.
Set free from sin and death, and nourished by the word of truth, we join in prayer for all of God's creation. Holy One, for the gift of the Church handed down through the ages, and for all who carry on the servant ministry of Jesus, we praise you. Send your Holy Spirit upon all who are discerning calls to ministry in its many forms, and equip them with your gifts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. Creating One, for the lush and abundant habitat you provide for all your creatures, we praise you. Provide healing for the earth, so that waterfowl, reptiles, fish, and all living things flourish as you intend. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Suffering One, for all who work towards peace, and who lead nations with a servant's heart, we praise you. Bring justice for all who suffer violence, persecution, discrimination, hunger, poverty, and homelessness, and create places of refuge for all people. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Merciful One, for all who do the work of healing in mind, body, and spirit, we praise you. Surround and comfort all who struggle with depression, anxiety, cancer, diabetes, dementia, COVID, or any other illness or injury. We remember today Eddie, Elaine, Barb, Sarah, Bonnie, Tilly, Katie, Nicole, Esther, Phyllis, John and Ruth, Norma, the lives and memory of the thousands of buried children at residential school sites across Canada, and those we name aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We also pray for Lily and her family and all who are searching for her. Hear us, O God,
your mercy is great.
Sustaining One, for all who volunteer for the vitality of this congregation, we praise you. Strengthen and encourage counselors, lectors, comforter nodders, counters, committee members, teachers, students, evangelists, singers, builders, musicians, nurturers, and all who serve with generous and open hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Risen One, we thank you for those who have shaped your church and shared your gospel. Through the witness of your saints, continue to inspire us with hope until we are all gathered together at your eternal feast. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you hear us, O God, we boldly place our prayers into your hands through Jesus Christ, our truth and life. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share a sign of peace with one another through a wave, a smile. Can't hug yet and shake hands, but hopefully soon. Peace, everyone.
Peace.
Let us pray our offering prayer. God of abundance, you cause streams to break forth in the desert and manna to rain from the heavens. Accept the gifts you have first given us. Unite them with the offering of our lives to nourish the world you love so dearly. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, mighty fortress, loving Redeemer, steadfast Comforter, as vegetation matures in forests and fields, Your living word undergirds all that lives. We praise your eternal word. In the words of the scriptures, you offer us Christ, our refuge, our Savior, and our friend, who accompanies us throughout our years and renews us in love. We praise Jesus, your word. We pray for power from your abiding spirit. Strengthen us to stand firm in our faith, in devotion to your word and in service to others. We pray for the spirit of your word. To you be honor and praise and glory today and forever. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. People of God, you are Christ's body, bringing new life to a suffering world. The Holy Trinity, one God, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our final hymn today is hymn number 808, Lord Jesus, you shall be my song.